2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, sports fans. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled. I am Scott Mitchell. He is Tom Hackett. And Tom Hackett is gloating at the moment. Please, please, please explain yourself, Tom.
Well,
he really is. Go ahead.
You guys made me sound like I was such a fool for thinking this way prior to the show starting in prep. When news broke that Mario Cristobal was going to Miami, I said, the only reason he's going is because, A, maybe he's getting paid more, but his mom's ill and he's from Miami, and that it's not a better job than Oregon. It's a way better job. I'm like, no, it's not. So I put a poll out there, and I asked the people online, and I only put the poll up there for an hour. It's got just over 200 votes, and 85.6 officially say Oregon is a better job than Miami.
How many national championships at Oregon?
Doesn't matter, because I'm talking present. You're talking past.
No, there's a tradition. There's a foundation. There's a
foundation from 20 years ago, Scotty. The foundation's deteriorated. They need an upgrade.
No,
they play in Hard Rock Stadium.
And that's a nice stadium.
Yeah, it's not. Well,
what other stadium are you going to play in?
Autumn, like your own stadium, Rice Eccles.
Yeah, go to Oregon where it rains all the time. I mean, the only thing about Oregon that's good is the Nike gear. That's it.
They're an annual top 15
Who
program.
Who wants to go to Oregon? Nobody. All you people. I don't care what Tom's poll says. They're wrong.
Let's Y'all ask our wrong. Next guest. He likes college football.
Fine. All right. We'll do that. All right. We have on the line here our guest hotline, of course, Real Salt Lake General Manager Elliot Fall. The guest hotline is sponsored by Smart Rain. Smart Rain state-of-the-art irrigation control helps with first-class water management. Visit smartrain.net to learn how to save 30 to 50% on your commercial property water cost. All right, Elliot, how are you? And welcome to the show.
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Do you follow football at all? I mean, American football and Oregon and Miami.
I do. I follow. I followed a bit. I'm a big Ute fan.
Go Utes! Hey,
that's right.
The Utes are going to go to the Rose Bowl. Just wanted to let you know.
You know, I heard that. I think I read it in the newspaper or something.
Yeah, it's probably on the back page somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You know, the truth is, I was actually in Portland. Went out and watched the game while at a bar in Portland where there were plenty of Oregon fans, and I was gloating. So,
I'll bet you had a good time.
I did have a good time. It brought me back to my old days in the Muss. I was a Muss member for both undefeated seasons.
Ah, so. Look at you! Awesome,
yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, how do you get to a conference final without a coach and an owner?
well, I will say we have a coach. We certainly have a coach. Pablo Mastroianni filled in, though you know, on the interim tag, very admirably, and did a fantastic job of rallying the group and really getting them bought into to fighting for each other and bought into to what they could be. So we do have a coach, but we don't really have an owner, and that is fair. So how do we do it? You know, I think we did it the way we've had to do it in this organization for a long time, which is, you know, really, really focus on people and focus on, you know, bringing in the right players who were here for the right reasons and were bought into what we wanted to do and what we wanted to be. And really, you know, kind of we're able to start to rebuild the culture like we used to have here, in a way that it was conducive to the group, you know, proving some people wrong.
Elliot, you obviously made an announcement this afternoon on roster decisions. I guess I'm most interested in the players you declined options on: Milan Alosky, Douglas Martinez, Ashton Morgan, Justin Putia, Noah Powder, Hazon Ramirez, Tate Schmidt, and Donny Toya. There's a chance now, for those that are unaware, you declined the options, but if you wanted to, you could reopen negotiations and sign them under a new contract. Do you, I guess without going into too much detail, do you anticipate some of those players at least coming back for next year, or is it too early?
Yeah, I would say it's possible. You know, we've done the bulk of our exit meetings. We do a meeting with every player after the season. We've done the bulk of them. We have a couple more to wrap up tomorrow. But you know, we've broached that subject with some of those guys and are certainly open to having conversations. And, you know, there's a few dominoes that need to fall, but, you know, like you said, it wouldn't shock me if there were, you know, one or two of those guys that were here again next year. And, you know, look, I also would like to tip my cap to all of them. They were all incredible professionals this year. They all came in, they all did their job, they all worked hard. You know, it's a tough industry sometimes, and it's sometimes you have to make some really difficult decisions, and that's what we had to do in a couple cases. But I think they're all gonna have brighter days ahead, and they'll all be successful, whether it's here or somewhere else in the future.
Okay, help me out here for just a second. So you don't have an owner. Where first of all, where are things with the ownership, and where's that gonna fall? But how do you make all these decisions without having an owner?
Yeah, so you know, I would say we've gotten kind of, I guess, decent at it, in the sense that, you know, we've been operating with the league overseeing us more or less as our de facto owner since the middle of last year. And so we work regularly with representatives from the league office, and they give us the autonomy and they give us the authority to make the decisions that we see fit and that we think are the best for the organization in the short term and the long term. So that's what we've done, and that's what we'll continue to do until they call us and tell us, hey, here's the phone number for your new owner, which I'm sure will happen someday, but it hasn't happened yet. So when that day comes, we'll gladly work with them, but until then, you know, we communicate with the league office.
While we're talking about it, for RSL fans that are listening, tomorrow, 9:30 Mountain Time, Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, is addressing in his annual State of the League address. He's expected to talk about RSL ownership, so there'll be more on that tomorrow. Can I dive into the weeds here quickly, Elliot? You've mentioned you're not able to spend discretionary funds without ownership. Albert Rusnak was obviously a designated player. You want to re-sign him. I assume you want to re-sign him as a designated player. Do you have to wait for new ownership to do that, or could you sign him as a designated player tomorrow because he was one this past year without ownership?
I mean, the way it worked last year is the league basically said we weren't allowed to add discretionary spending from the previous year or from contracts that had been agreed to already. And they've been very willing to work with us, and obviously Albert had a really good year, and Albert's a fantastic player, and and our captain and a great leader with our group. So we are certainly engaged in conversations with him. Exactly where that goes, you know, we'll see. We're not quite there, but I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to get him back and have him here for the 2022 season and beyond. Exactly what roster designation that is, I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, but yes, I mean, we will have a conversation with, you know, our de facto owner, the league office, once, you know, once we have a framework of an agreement in place to get their approval on it.
Two more quick ones. Can you give the RSL fan base any indication as to when you will sign slash hire a manager?
Yeah, you know, it's the most important decision we have to make quickly. So we are, you know, we are in the middle of having those conversations, and I am hopeful that we will have resolution there very quickly.
I appreciate you. That was very political. Lastly, is Miami or Oregon a better college football job?
Scott, I hate to say it, but I think it's Oregon now. I think it's a more attractive job. You know, who gets better recruiting classes? You know, these days, I think Oregon does. I mean, I'm not an expert. I might be wrong about that, but, you know, that said, Miami is definitely a sleeping giant. They, you know, all it will take is somebody to go in there and do a really good job. And, you know, I'm sure they could be a great program once again, but they've fallen on some hard times.
No, they've fallen off a cliff is actually what they
Although two of the last three games, so has Oregon. They've fallen on some hard times as well.
Boy, didn't they?
No.
Man, they got it handed to them. Hey, yeah. Utah's going to the Rose Bowl, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, I will certainly be watching it, if not in attendance.
Well, I'm going to be there, so maybe you'll say hi.
There we go. Absolutely. Right.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it, and good luck with everything.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, there you have it. That's Elliot Fall, who's the general manager for RSL. That's got to be hard, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all these important decisions you have to make, and you're kind of like, kind of at, I guess, at the league's beck and call, or but you're also limited as to
your
choices.
Good. Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't understand this. Why would it take so long?
Well, there's something called greed.
Yeah.
And the league.
The seven deadly sins, by the way.
The league wanted maybe a little bit more money than they billionaires thought it may be worth.
Ah.
And that subsequently or consequently prolongs everything. So, no, it's tricky. And what Elliot, by the way, what Elliot Fall, and he's a good friend of mine, and I'm biased, so take it with a grain of salt, but what he's been able to accomplish, nothing short of really, really special.
Wait, he's a good friend of yours?
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to tell everyone that it's the Oregon job.
He has told me on many a time how horribly wrong I am. He would have no issue.
Oh, he would tell you you're wrong.
Yes. Yeah, he's a transparent man.
Well, I don't think you're wrong.
I
like your question, quite frankly. I just don't think you're right.
What am I?
I think, okay.
So what's your reasoning? Give me something serious here.
It's the potential of an opportunity.
But why would you take a job with potential when you have one?
If
that's
Oregon,
it's
like Lincoln Riley, who had a great job, was going to go to the SEC. It's like, why in the world would you leave Oklahoma? Oklahoma is like, I mean, they've had two Heisman Trophy winners recently.
Really good program.
I mean, it's an amazing program. And why would you go, which is a better job, Oklahoma or USC?
Oklahoma.
See, and I just look at it different because I look at what the job can be if the right person is put into place. That's the way I see it. Because I think the programs are so contingent on having the right guy. Like, not every football coach is created equal. There's good ones and there's bad ones and there's Alabama just wasn't lighting it on fire before Nick Saban got there. And Alabama is a great program, but it was down. And all I'm saying is there are program. I mean, Texas is down. Texas is a great program. Michigan's been down forever. Yeah, I mean, Michigan's been so overrated for years. So that's just the way I look at it.
I understand your thought. I just think Oregon with Phil Knight.
It's your generation.
It may be.
It's like gratification right now. There's no delayed gratification. It's like I just see it how it is in the present, and I look at it and I see the potential.
To be fair, and Oregon, when you look back on the last decade, they've been in the top 10 most weeks, I have to imagine. They've really only had one good quarterback.
How old are you?
Marcus Mariota is the only quarterback that's been
any good.
Any yeah. good.
Right. How old
Which
are you?
Which is strange. I'm 29.
Yeah, see. I have you by about 14 years. Like 15 years. Or no, 15?
No, Scotty, I don't
25
wanna,
years.
Yeah, I don't want to call you out, but you lost your marbles, man.
25 years, Tom.
But what does that mean? It means
that means that I've had life experience for 25 years that you didn't even get yet. That's all I'm saying. I'm older and I have more insurance. That's all. You don't even know where that's from, do you?
Oh, you're just gonna like make me feel like a fool publicly now.
Well, you wouldn't know because it's from a movie, Fried Green Tomatoes. It's a famous line from a movie. Anyways. We're told that we have to go to a break.
So unfortunate.
All right, when we come back, it is time for the 2-minute drill. This show keeps rolling on.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.